Bit transmission. Playback commencing in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Bit Transmission, a Destructoid podcast on the past, present, and future of gaming, with Colette Bennett, Jonathan Holmes, and myself, Conrad Zimmerman. Episode 7. We're joined by Alex Noisy of Gaijin Games. We'll discuss what it takes to be an independent developer, and Holmes espouses his theory on the story in the BitTrip games.
The paddle in Beat is a digital sperm.
To start, we get hyped for BitTrip Runner.
So excited for Runner to come out.
Dude,
it's 17.
Me too.
Nice. Thank you. We're excited as well.
How long has it been done for? Because I know that it is maybe going to come out in April, but that didn't quite happen.
I think that we've been done with the game since about GDC.
Oh, maybe. Wow, really?
Maybe. Maybe we were putting the final touches on it around then. I'm not sure, but it was pretty far along there if it wasn't finished. And then we just, did the small amount of work to get the European release ready, and then, and then it goes through the whole process, Nintendo and all that. Yeah, so we're deep into BitTrip 5 right now, and actually we're a little bit behind, so it's kind of stressful times over here.
Oh, wow. Deep into BitTrip 5 already, huh?
Yeah, man. No rest for the weary.
Those are exciting words.
Well, okay, so break down what Runner is for anyone who might not have seen video or read the extensive coverage that's been all over the web.
BitTrip Runner, in a nutshell, is it's the next chapter in Commander Video's saga as he takes the world by storm. So what we're doing in BitTrip Runner for the first time is giving players control over Commander Video in his corporeal state, and basically he's running, jumping, kicking, sliding and kung-fuing and all this through the world and not taking no for an answer. It's basically just get up, run, go for it, go for it, go for it. You're never going to fail. Oh my God, you're awesome. And that's the theme of BitTrip Runner.
Wow.
That never gonna fail thing, that's kind of odd for me considering the rest of the BitTrip games to date. There's always been a real sense of that arcade intensity of, you're gonna run out of steam and it's just gonna stop. You'll have to start all over from the beginning. Why make that drastic of a change?
Right. So each game in the series focuses on a particular aspect of human growth or a person's journey through life or what have you. And the story that we're trying to tell with BitTrip Runner is one of perseverance and sort of never give up-itude and, just sort of not taking no for an answer. So it seemed appropriate that there wouldn't be a game over in BitTrip Runner. Although, if you're really careful, you might experience one game over. But generally speaking, there's no such thing as a game over in BitTrip Runner.
Wow.
That sounds awesome, actually. I mean, I love the idea of not necessarily there being a game over, and I feel like that's something that developers have flirted with in certain games, and you see it sometimes, but how do you feel about gamers' tolerance for the game over screen? Do you feel like it's gotten lesser as gaming has modernized?
Absolutely. I think, and it's kind of sad to me that that's true, but I think that people do not like game overs anymore, and we're going to see a game over for game over, which mm-hmm. to me is kind of depressing. There's something I really like about you're playing a game and then, crap, I failed and now it's over. And then you can try it again if you want. But a lot of modern gamers don't seem to really enjoy that concept. So, in keeping with the growth of the franchise, as well as the growth of the character, as well as the growth of gamers, we're sort of taking it, taking it to the more modern end in that regard.
I actually got to play it at PAX East, and though you don't get a game over, you definitely get a penalty for making a mistake or for being careless. You have to start over that level from the start, or if you're doing a challenge stage, which is really intense, if you mess up once, you have to start over, which will really kill you, because then you have to unlock the stage again and play from the start. So I don't want you guys thinking that it's going to be an easy game, because Runner was definitely still pretty tough, but not in a way that I think you put it perfectly, Alex, which isn't surprising, that you just never stop. Even when you die, there's only, it felt like a 1 second span between when you've stopped playing and when you restart the level, and you're just back into it immediately. It's almost like a continuous loop.
Yeah, and it's basically, like, that's the point. It's not that there's no penalties in the game. It's just that the game never stops. And the point behind that is that life itself never stops. And this is Commander Video tackling life. And in life, life is full of penalties, you know? And that doesn't mean that you die or that your life is over. You overcome those penalties. You circumvent them. You learn to cope with them. You excel. You try again, you know? And so the whole game loop and the feedback loop of Bit Trip Runner is meant to be a positive and a you can do it kind of a vibe, you know? And so the game never skips a beat. When you bonk, is what we call it, you run into something, it warps you back to the beginning of the challenge, and then you're running again right on the next measure. You know, so the game, the music continues, the energy continues. It's just another go at it.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's sad for me to hear people that are already saying that they wish you hadn't done that. They haven't played the game yet, but they love the way the previous three Bit Trip games are. And I can kind of relate with them, because I was sad to see – I want the Bit Trip games – I love them so much as they are. It's hard to be comfortable with change right away. But after I played the game, I completely got it. But I worry for people that haven't played it yet and kind of their trepidation about the new direction.
Yeah, I think it's interesting too. The way that you put it is that people are a little bit wary of change and all of that. And I want the fans to know that we wouldn't implement a feature if it didn't feel appropriate to the Bit Trip world and to the Bit Trip franchise. And the way that the game flow in Runner is handled definitely feels appropriate. And for those people who are still holding on to this concept of moting down into Nether and then getting your game over, that's not gone from the series. You'll get that again. It's just that in Runner, that's not the focus of this game. And I think that that's kind of cool, because one of the things we try to do with the games is keep them fresh from game to game. And as much as I would like personally to play like Bit Trip 2, where it's just, or Bit Trip Beat 2, where it's just more levels of Bit Trip Beat, I don't think that that's as strong a sequel as something like Core, and then you get Void, and then you get Runner, and they're all different. And we've had people talk to us about how one game really speaks to them and the others don't, you know, or they find one of them very difficult that other people don't find difficult, you know. So there's something in each of these games for everyone. And the story that we're trying to tell, while abstract, kind of mimics the notion that there's so many different facets to life that, you know, how can one of them be sort of quote-unquote the one? They're all part of the whole.
You should see my face right now. I'm scrunching it with all my might to take all this in. Such deep stuff.
I think it's great to hear that, because I feel like seeing these like deeper type of themes in gaming is something that I've always wanted to see. And I feel like there's certainly games that have done it, but I really applaud the fact that you guys have kind of embroidered that type of feeling on the background of the game. I just think that that's something that makes it resonate with gamers in a deeper way. At least it does for me.
That's good to hear, because that's our goal. I really value, meaningful experiences through life in whatever you do, even if it's walking to the store to buy beer and hot dogs. Like, if you enjoy that walk, you know, then that became meaningful for you. And so what we're trying to do at Gaijin Games with our products is give opportunities for meaningful experiences through video games. So I'm glad that you're picking up on that. And a lot of our fans seem to be picking up on that. In fact, some of them have emailed us with very detailed descriptions of what is going on, and we are dumbfounded.
Wow.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You mean what is going on with the games in terms of their interpretation of them?
Yes.
I was going to throw mine at you. I think I already emailed it to you once, but...
Well, what is it?
Well, you know, this isn't my final idea, but right now, when I look at the games, and I played them all in a row before playing Runner, and that's when it really hit me, it felt like the first game beat was like the what's the non-dirty way of saying sperm?
I don't think that that's dirty. I think that is
the non-dirty way. Yeah.
I'm still clinical, but I haven't quite got to the, you know what I'm saying. It feels like the paddle in Beat is a digital sperm. It's making its way through a digital, I don't want to say a nightmare, but it's pretty scary for a sperm, what it's up to. You know, it's a life or death situation, and it's got to get to the end. Or else it's meaningless. Its life is meaningless. Its existence is meaningless till it gets to the end. And there's a lot of obstacles, and you know you see where I'm going with that. So that's where I saw the first game was really the inception of life. And then the second game felt like at first when I reviewed it, I thought it was like synaptic connections being formed because the lasers in Core acted as fast as my synapses would. I told them to activate, so I really got this sense that I was in a brain, and it almost felt like maybe the brain was forming and the cells were forming. You see how much I've thought about this. And then a void felt like the formation of the person, the personality, as each level is named after you know, different parts of the psyche, the id, ego, and the superego. And void really asks you to use your personality to make decisions in the game in ways that Beat and Core didn't, because in Void you have to shrink or grow or be greedy or be careful, and your own personal playstyle really comes through much more than in Beat, where you know technically just have to hit the beats and there's not a lot of choice there. There are choices, but there's really one right choice, whereas in Void it's much more ambiguous. Then Runner, I feel like, is the baby being born and popping out of his mom and then kicking some ass.
Rad. That's pretty good. Anyone want to add to that before I kind of start going off a little bit?
I can't conceive of what I could add to that.
I know. How can you top that?
You guys.
That's pretty good.
Well, he is hard to top, typically.
Yeah, I get that impression. So I'll tell you what. You might be right. And the thing that I love about art, and of course the whole debate as to whether video games are art or not, I don't know if I want to really get into that, but one of the things I really like about art is that it can be interpreted in several different ways, and it can have very meaningful meaning to you that's very different from the meaning it has to me. That's not to say that what you're getting out of this game is totally different from what we're putting into it and we're getting out of it. Cause I'll tell you what, there are sperms in the BitTrip, games. There are synapses in the BitTrip games. There are personality forming gameplay elements in the BitTrip games. And there is the birth in the BitTrip games. I wouldn't say that you picked up on, it's pretty rad.
BitTrip sperm confirmed. It's awesome.
BitTrip sperm confirmed. I wouldn't say that you picked up on exactly where we think they all are, but you're getting the gist.
Mm.
It's pretty cool, you know?
Yeah, that is. That is.
There's a lot of what you mentioned going on in these games. And I think that at the end of the series, if you look back at all of the cutscenes, and then if you're good enough to play the games and watch the backgrounds, then you can sort of put the backgrounds together with the cutscenes and sort of put together this jigsaw puzzle of where this journey was taking Commander Video, and then, of course, through him, you as the player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm going to be so sad when the series is over, but at the same time, I can't wait to see what's going to happen next. How much do you think you can tell us about BitTrip 5? I'm hoping it's going to go in like a Pitfall 2 sort of Super Metroid direction, but that's probably asking a lot. But I know you like Super Metroid and Pitfall. And of course, I know you like Silent Hill as well. So if you made a Silent Hill BitTrip game, I wouldn't complain about that either.
Man.
That would be like the happiest day of my life.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if you guys...
I'm not joking.
Yeah, that would be awesome. But I don't know if you guys got the memo or anything, but we make these games in about 3 months each. So I think,
yeah, I know.
You know, like a Silent Hill or a Super Metroid is sadly out of scope. I mean, but how sweet that is. People have asked if we're going to do a JRPG. They've asked if we're going to do a kart racing game. They've asked if we're going to do a horror game. This is the first time we've been asked if we're going to do a Super Metroid type of thing. And I don't think anyone has really guessed what's coming next, which is surprising to me. But it definitely takes the story a bit further, and it is the beginning of the thrilling conclusion, which will happen in BitTrip 6.
Oh, cool!
Yeah. I actually had an awesome... Was it? I guess it was a waking hallucination, kind of a waking dream. I was driving home after a really exhausting wedding about 7 hours away, and it was pitch black out. I'm sorry, I'm just launching into the story. It's not going to take long. You know, I'm driving down the highway going like 80 because I can't wait to go home and go to bed, and it's just black, and the lines coming at me on the road, they looked just like the beats from Nether and BitTrip Beat to me.
Oh,
like,
boy.
How awesome would a 3D BitTrip Beat where the beats actually come at you? And then I was like trying to hit all the dots right and stuff like that and totally put my life in danger while I was driving. But I was playing a 3D BitTrip game. But hopefully I'm getting to talk to the guy who makes these games, so I can't help but want to share that with him. Maybe it'll...
That's totally awesome. In fact, if you play the first boss in BitTrip Void while in the Nether mode, that's kind of like what you were experiencing there.
Exactly.
And in fact, that's kind of based off of a game for the 2600 called Night Driver, you know? So you see how it all comes back to video games. Everything we do in life comes back to video games.
Ha 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 ha. Yes, it does.
That's how awesome the medium is.
We got one of our questions. People wanted to know what some of your favorite 2600 games were and what influences might still be there for you in terms of future games. Was Pitfall a pretty big influence on Runner? Is that accurate to guess?
That's very accurate to guess. I think that you can see the likeness very well. Certainly Pitfall was a big inspiration. In terms of other 2600 games that I adore and that were also inspirations for games in the BitTrip series would be Fast Food. That's a fantastic game. Big inspiration for Void. And then Cosmic Arc was a big inspiration for Core. Of course, Super Breakout, you know, Video Olympics on the 2600 and of course Pong, you know, which wasn't on the 2600, but let's see what else. There's some others in there. Hero was a good inspiration for Runner. But then in terms of my favorite 2600 games, and this will be required playing for anyone listening to the podcast, we've got Stampede, fantastic game. And of course, Video Olympics, which I mentioned already, and then Worm War 1.
I totally forgot about that game. That's awesome.
Yeah, they never made Worm War 2, but I'm still waiting for it.
How about Adventure on the 2600?
Adventure is awesome. In fact, I almost got that dragon from Adventure tattooed on my body, but all of my friends and my wife vetoed it. They said, that thing is so damn ugly.
Aww.
There's no
little
way.
Little duck guy with the big stomach? I love that dragon.
That's what they all said. They were like, isn't that a little duck guy with a big stomach? He's all distended.
But it's awesome.
I thought it was awesome too, but instead I got a different video game tattoo. So, you know, we were all winners in that scenario.
Yeah, there's always time in the future. Maybe when you're, you know, 80 in your futuristic nursing home, you can be like, now it's time, dragon.
When I'm 80, I'm going to be covered in tattoos and sitting on my porch with overalls on and drinking whiskey and swearing at kids. That's my dream.
Sounds like a good deal, man.
Yeah, it's a beautiful dream.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if people know, so many of our listeners are 20 years younger than the Atari 2600. I mean, they may not have even played those games, but there's a lot of 2600 games that I think were the building blocks for a lot of people's favorite Nintendo games, like Adventure and Zelda aren't really that different, and Pitfall 2 and Metroid aren't really that different either. I'm trying to sell them on these games right now. I don't know how I'm doing.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to make a lot of progress on that. Every time I talk to Destructoid's own Ben Purley, he refers to all the games that I mention as old people games.
Well, you know, Ben doesn't even like Super Metroid that much. Ben is always talking about how Shadow Complex is better than Super Metroid. And
I was going to say, so does that mean that Ben thinks that we, in fact, are old people?
Yes.
Oh, of course. Yeah, but Ben's a wiener, so whatever.
Did you get the Vib Ribbon game I sent you, Alex?
The Vib Ribbon game?
Yeah, if you turn on your company's Nintendo Wii, you'll get a Vib Ribbon game from me from WarioWare.
No.
Do it yourself. Yeah, I didn't make it. I found it. Some guy named
Vib Ribbon is very good.
Yes, it is. It is.
And the music is very good. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. By Laugh and Peace is the band.
That's right.
Yeah, Vib Ribbon was a huge inspiration for Trip Runner, of course. We played that a lot in the office. That's a great game.
Oh, wow. Awesome. It really is.
I'll fire up the Wii after we're done here and check it out.
Do you want to talk anything about the WarioWare games you sent me? Because I was thrilled with them, if you don't mind me gushing in front of you. Yeah. I'm lucky enough to have Alex's company Wii Code. And he's got WarioWare in there, so he sent me a couple of games that – who all made those games? Did Chris and Mike team up with you on that, or did you just make those on your own?
Let's see. So we did the one for Nintendo, the WarioWare DIY thing, the runner Fire Bad or whatever. Yeah, Fire Bad. We did that. And then I made Silence, where you have to put the lotion in the basket. And then Mike made Cat Hating, where you have to pet the cat. And in fact, I made the sequel to Cat.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, called Cat Loving. And I actually should send that out soon, maybe today or tomorrow. So everyone,
I
want to
play Cat Loving.
Well, get your get your Wii number over to us. We've got a blog post. It's probably like four posts down, but you can post your Wii number in there, or you can email it to info@gaijingames.com. And if you send your Wii number in, then we'll register it with our Wii. And then every now and then when we send these WarioWare DIY games out, we'll add you to the list.
Awesome!
Yeah. Free of charge, yeah. That's the thing about you, Alex. If I can just talk about you for a second. What you were saying before about looking for meaning in every experience, I can't think of any other game developers who are making little games and giving them out to people privately for free, Wii-to-Wii contact like that. I mean, it really feels like you're in this for really connecting with people. I'm wondering if that's part of why you moved on from your career as a big name developer for you were at LucasArts. You weren't at Capcom too, were you? Or was it just Lucas?
No, I was at LucasArts, then Activision, and then a small independent development studio here in Santa Cruz, and then Gaijin Games. The thing about doing all of the, you know, the fan interaction and stuff that's fun for us is that, you know, we kind of feel like we're all in it together, you know, this whole game called Life, and we like to hook up with cool people and chat and be cool and, I don't know, get feedback and see what other people are doing. Like, we've got a huge fan art page where people submit just amazing works of art to us, and it's very fun. And in fact, in the third level of Bit Trip Runner, we've included a lot of fan art as graffiti. We had a contest, or a, I guess you could call it a contest, where you could get your graffiti in the game. But to talk about your point, Jonathan, about, you know, sharing the small games that we're making on WarioWare DIY and stuff, that is the type of thing that we love to do, but it is kind of difficult, like, you know, finding the time, and every now and then I'll get to work and I'll spend an hour doing that, but I have to cut it off after that because I also need to work to keep making the good games that you guys love. And so, you know, if we could, we would definitely do more of that because it's one of the really fun things that we do. And so, I'd say fans who want to connect out there, you know, join our official BitTrip Facebook page because we do updates on that a lot. And, you know, and we'll be involved sort of more or less depending on how busy our schedules are, but we love to be involved like that. You're right, Jonathan. It's really fun.
Well, you're already so much more involved than every other game developer I've ever met or I've ever known of. Do you find that that's something you get to do more of now that you're CEO of your own company as opposed to when you were at Activision or at LucasArts?
Oh, without a doubt. We often say in the office, like a conversation in the office often goes like this. Hey, guy. All right. That was Mike in the background.
I thought
and,
so, yeah.
And you know what? He's right, actually. It often does go like that. But we'll be standing around, and I'll say something like, yeah, can we do that? And one of the other two guys will say, dude, we can do whatever we want. And that's really what it comes down to. It's like we run this company. It's just the three of us. We can do whatever we want.
And, but that's the best thing. That's such a great thing. And I think You know, I have to just toss this in there real quick. I feel like there are some games out there today, okay, and I'm not naming any names, but sometimes I sit there and play them, and I'm sitting there playing them going, as these games come out, I feel like they're more and more about pleasing people who will buy them in a specific demographic and, like, in the end result being, of course, making money. And everyone wants to make money, so that's not the problem at hand. But, like, I keep feeling like I'm playing these really big, really rich, really, like, graphically superior experiences, and they leave me feeling empty. And yeah. I realize that that's a little – I mean, I might be, you know, going a little deep here for – but, I mean, you know, I've been a gamer for 22 years, and I don't get – like, when I remember the very first time I actually played Bitch or Beat and kind of reacting and going, wow, I'm having fun. I'm not having the same amount of fun playing some of the games that are coming out today, the big productions. Does that make sense? Like, does that ring true for anybody else here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think you're probably preaching to the choir. That makes a lot of sense to me. I feel the exact same way.
Thank God I'm not crazy, because I'm like, man, why? I mean, you know, this is what we always wanted, right? We wanted graphics to look, I mean, I did. I wanted, you know, to see video games just, you know, evolve. And now they've evolved to a point where I don't connect with them on the same, I mean, not all of them, but I just feel like I don't connect in the same way anymore sometimes, you know?
Yeah, I feel the same way. And the sad fact, or as I like to call it, the dark fact of the matter, and that will make sense to people who are fans of the Ys series, because Dark Fact is one of the final bosses. So the dark fact of that matter is that people who are making games like we're making aren't getting rich like the people who are making the games that you just mentioned. It's interesting because while there's definitely an audience, and clearly we're making some money because we're still in business, we're still making games, but I don't think that the general public is quite there with you yet on that. And that's kind of a bummer for us, because I like to have, as a gamer, I like to have my beliefs questioned and to be moved by games. For instance, I will never, ever forget playing Silent Hill 2, you know?
Oh, my God. Don't even get me started.
Yeah. I know, right?
I mean that in the good way. I mean that in the good way.
Absolutely. I believe you. But it's like, I don't know if the general public is ready for the types of experiences you were just describing, the meaningful stuff. And so what we're trying to do is deliver it in a way where you can play the games and you can have fun playing them and you don't need to know the story. But if you want to know the story, you can really get some stuff out of it. Yeah, for sure.
I really appreciate that in a big way. And I agree with you. I think most gamers are consuming the modern offerings that are out there today and enjoying them. But you know, it's like sometimes when I'm playing them, I'm going, you know, this kind of feels like the really big budget movie that you go see and then you like forget it. Like right after you leave the theater, you're like, yeah, that was good. And you forget it.
Yeah,
and that's,
yeah.
As a gamer, that's not the experience I want. I want, you know, I mean, Silent Hill 2 is what? Is it 10 years old? I mean, I still talk about that game all the time.
Yeah, I think it's like 8 years, but yeah, I talk about it all the time. I gave it a 10 on my game-o-meter, on my own personal review game-o-meter.
Have I been missing your reviews, Alex, or are you reviewing them, putting the reviews up somewhere else? Because I haven't seen them on the Gaijin Games site in a while.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Actually, I have been contributing to a review website that, one little caveat, it's not the best website because we don't know how to make websites at all. But there's a buddy of mine and I who we've been writing game reviews for every game that we beat probably for the last 10 years. And so we still do it and we post them to beatenvideogames.net. So you can check out our reviews there.
Cool.
And I did mean to keep posting them to Gaijin's site, but some things have slipped through the cracks.
Well, yeah, you're making a game every 3 months and trying to promote it and sell it. And yeah, so no excuses necessary there. But just wanted you to know I missed your reviews. I think the last one I read was ExciteBots, and that was
That's way old.
Yeah, I know. I haven't seen them in a while. So to speak to what Colette's talking about, though, with games going kind of mainstream, I think it's kind of great because now there's a way you can differentiate. I mean, there really are art games now as opposed to blockbuster event popcorn movie games. And if anything, that just shows even more clearly that by juxtaposition that, yeah, some games are definitely art. And it's okay that they – I mean, it's okay with me because I'm not making them, but it's okay that they're not going to make blockbuster money necessarily, just like art films don't always make blockbuster money, but they make enough money to keep the filmmakers going and create art that people who want art as opposed to just disposable sort of semi-pornographic blood and guts experience. People who want that, they have their stuff and we'll have our stuff. I'm personally more and more okay with that as time goes on.
Yeah, I think I am too. And, you know, and also spread the word, you know, about all those artsy fartsy games, because the more people know that they're there and the more that they try them out, the more games like that will be made. So like if small developers like us and there's several others, you know, Team Meat comes to mind because they're local and we see them all the time. But if people buy the games that we make, we'll make more of the games that you want. So yeah, so spread the word, because I think that we're in a renaissance of creativity in the game industry right now. And I'm looking more and more towards those experiences that you just described, Jonathan, and less and less towards the big pornographic blockbusters, if you will.
Speaking of making money off these, a couple of our readers asked if there was any chance that your stuff would get ported to PSN or XBLA, which would could happen, because that would expand how many people would play in your games by a large margin, I'm sure, especially with XBLA. And also one of our readers asked how hard it was to start the company. What did you need? I think he wants to be able to start his own company too. So mm-hmm. If you have any advice for him, that was from Manodi, who I talk with all the time. He's a great kid.
Right. Well, Let's see. The first part of that was what was the first part?
The first part was if the games could potentially come to other platforms, either retail or downloadable.
We've done a little bit of looking into that, but we don't really have any solid plans that I'm ready to discuss yet. It may or may not happen. I'll just put it that way. There's nothing solid. Would I like to play the BitTrip series on like PSN or something? Absolutely. So, we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's encouraging. That'll make people happy.
Well, I can't promise anything because who knows at this point. We're just trying to keep our heads above water, pounding out these games the way that we are and keeping them of a quality that our fans deserve and that the games themselves deserve. So, we are just three guys at the end of the day, so.
The thing about making any video game is I would hope that just like how a song won't be popular in the 70s, but then when Quentin Tarantino samples it 20 years later, then those guys are making huge money. I hope that since you've made something that's going to last, and you've made it, I don't know if you did this on purpose, but you made those games in a style that's pretty timeless, in my opinion. Like, BitTrip Beat will look great no matter what video game generation you're in. I'm hoping that even if you haven't made your millions now, that someday when cloud computing and you can just pull a game out of the sky and throw it into your computer and play it, that when your games are accessible to everybody, that's when the multi-billions will come in.
Hey, I'll drink to that. When that happens, I'll buy you all a round of drinks.
Woo!
I'll be there. Hopefully it's before you're drunk on whiskey on your porch covered in tattoos.
Man, we can only hope.
And the second question there is if you want to talk a little bit about form engaging games and what you needed and what advice you would give to somebody who's looking to do that themselves.
Wow. Yeah, I think the biggest piece of advice is get a lot of experience in the industry before you try something as harebrained as starting your own company.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work. It's more work than I think I thought, and I thought it was going to be a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And it's very rewarding, and it's very fun. And like I said before, we can do whatever we want, but if we hadn't sort of cut our teeth on other jobs in the industry before, I think that we'd be having a much rougher time of it. So pay your dues. Yeah, for sure. So pay your dues, get in, learn some stuff, and then try it out. And and I tried to start Gaijin Games once before and failed. And I think that failure is, it kind of comes back to BitTrip Runner. It's like everything comes back to video games. Because even though I failed that time, it's like I learned from it, and therefore it's not a failure. And now here we are, and we're making awesome games for y'all. So, don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to try and then suck at it and then try again and be better at it, So that's my advice on that.
Awesome. This is awesome.
That's good advice.
When are you going to write a book, or can you make a video game that is just a book of you talking? Or I just press the button and you're
That'll be a big seller.
I'll buy it. I'll promote it on the site. I just want to press a button here. You'd be like, life is filled with experiences. You never know what you're going to get. This is what I need every morning is to hear
I'm gonna
you.
Make
just,
a,
you know,
I'm going to make a boring
fanboys
game.
Get a,
go ahead.
I was going to say fanboys get a bad rap, but Jonathan Holmes, you make fanboyish statements sound so sweet and lovely.
Oh gosh,
he's so cute because he's like so excited, but then like I don't know, it's just you're so genuine. That's all.
He's a lover.
Thanks. It's the coffee talk.
He is. Really. I know. I love him.
Oh, this is too good.
A couple of months ago, there was a story, the makers of Liltline, an iPhone game,
mm-hmm.
with that's pretty cool, said that you would be publishing Liltline on WiiWare. Is that something still going on with that? Because nothing's been said at all, as far as I'm aware, apart from one tweet 2 months ago.
Well, you're about to get a kick in the pants of Litline awesomeness this summer. And we just haven't yet started our amazing and multi-million-dollar marketing campaign for it. but we will. The good folks over at Different Cloth and the good folks over here at Gaijin Games have been working together on a WiiWare version of the award-winning Litline on the iPhone. And I gotta say, I love that game, and it's pretty cool on the Wii. So
how does it control on the Wii? That's not something I've been wondering about.
It uses BitTrip Beat controls.
Oh, nice.
Alright, awesome.
It just feels really nice. And when we were at GDC, we had a behind closed doors in Washington meeting with the creator of the game, and he got his hands on it and he was like, "Ah, oh, this is great. It feels just like Litline. Ah, when can I get it? Sweet." You know, and it was, and then we all went out for drinks and had a great time. So it's definitely true to the original. Its graphics have been appropriately sexed up, although it still maintains that minimalist flavor, which I love so much. And I think it's a nice little game. And one of the reasons that I'm very excited about bringing Litline to the WiiWare service is because it's a small, tasty little chunk that you can just pick up, play for a moment, and put down and move on, and you've had a really interesting experience. And so we want to keep bringing interesting experiences to gamers. And that's one of our goals, you know, as a company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So to kind of answer your question a little bit better, we are still working on Litline. It's nearing completion. But since this is the first game that we've ever published ourselves, I think that it's going a little bit slower because there's a learning curve there, which I won't be afraid to admit. You know, these are things that we're figuring out. But we're hoping for a summer-ish release on that.
Hmm. Will that be like
very
in between
exciting
BitTrip titles? Is that because you don't want to compete with yourself against? I mean, the WiiWare audience, sadly, is much smaller than I wish it was. I don't know why people are so afraid to get their Wiis online, but I know you wouldn't want to put your own game kind of competing against another game you were putting out at the same time. So can we expect it in between BitTrip Runner and BitTrip 5, or between BitTrip 5 and BitTrip 6, maybe?
Man, I have no idea. We got to get you working here as a producer, and you can answer that for me.
He would be good in that capacity.
Yeah. We're kind of flying by the seat of our pants on that, so I don't really know.
One question I had is, do you think people who smoke pot like your games more than people who do not smoke pot? I personally do not smoke pot, and I love your games, but people play them with me, and they say, yes, let's smoke pot now. I'm playing this game. Seems like a perfect fit. And I say, maybe. Not with me. No smoking pot here.
I find that a very strange question.
We haven't had any reports on whether doing drugs while playing our games enhances the experience or not. I will say that I have been known to drink a little wine from time to time and then promptly get motion sick while playing BitTrip Beat. So I wouldn't recommend that.
I have had exactly the same experience.
Awesome.
So, yeah, do not drink and beat.
So, are there any games right now you're playing, Alex, that you're particularly excited about? I know you've probably gotten more inside time on Super Meat Boy than the rest of us have, and I know I'm really excited about that game, but is there any real stuff that you've been particularly happy with lately?
Gosh, you know, I hate to admit it, because this was one of the things that I always hated when I was a youngin in the video game industry. When the higher ups said this sort of thing, but I haven't been playing a lot of video games, and that just depresses me because, as a game developer, you should be playing a lot of video games.
Well,
and so, yeah, what was it?
I was going to say, is it not difficult to find the time considering the amount of work on your plate? Because I definitely found that when I was at the height of writing about video games the most, I rarely ever played them.
Yes, mm-hmm. that is precisely why. So we're hoping to start doing fewer podcasts and focus more on game development so that we can have some more free time.
Ouch.
Yeah.
You do know how to zing them. Ouch.
I do. No, but seriously, it is because I don't have a whole lot of time these days, which is kind of funny because I usually make the time for playing games. Now, that's not to say that I'm not playing games. I'm playing God of War 3 right now. And I expected to be finished with it by now, but I'm not. And that's really the only game I'm playing at the moment.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, I've usually got like 6 or 7 going, but between making WarioWare games and working and playing DIY, my hands are full game-wise.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. I find that I haven't worked on a lot of games, but I've done a little bit of stuff here and there. And it almost feels like playing a game when you're making a game. Because you're using a computer, you're controlling something, you're making decisions all the time. It almost kind of uses up that part of my brain that's excited about kind of entering somebody else's space and trying to navigate through it when I'm having to put together graphics or programming or something like that.
Yeah, sometimes making a game can kind of tap into that same part of your brain where you're solving puzzles all the time. You know, problems crop up and you solve them and you move on. You know, it's like a Resident Evil where you have to get the key to go do the thing, to do the other thing.
Yeah, yep. But somehow it makes it fun. I don't know. There's a certain way, as a game designer, I'd like to hear what you think about this, Alex. How do you think you make a game that asks a lot of the player? It's just basically a lot of work, but somehow you still want to do it and you actually enjoy problems. It's a pretty amazing feat to be able to do that.
Yeah, I don't know if I have an answer for that because I don't know that I've figured that out yet.
Well, you do most of the kind of placement of the beats in the games.
I do, right? I do all of it.
Those are serious problems you give people, but people are addicted to those problems. People are like, I stayed up all night. I just love problems. Look at my high score. You know, you've done it. You've definitely made it so people get in love with trouble. That you've made.
Well, that's very flattering. Thank you very much. But I think I could do a lot better.
Really?
Huh. I do. Yeah. And we're going to try to do better for you with each game we make. Every single game we ever make, we're hoping to do better for you.
You see, he's
amazing.
They can manage 3 people. He has the PR department. Did you hear that?
Give me a break.
That was pretty incredible.
Smooth as butter.
Do you want to talk? I don't know how much you want to talk about Runner. I want to hear about Runner, but with it coming out, I don't know how much you want to spoil.
Are you kidding me? That's our flagship title of the summer. I'd be an idiot not to want to talk about Runner. I got to take all the chances to pimp that game as I can.
Yes, please pimp that game. Can you tell me how many exciting moves can I expect to see out of Commander Video in the game? When I played it, there was slide, jump, and then like launch off a purple springboard and a shield move, but I never got to use it. Is there even more to it than that?
Those are all very exciting moves. And if you're asking how many exciting moves do you get to use while playing the game, my answer would be all of them. There are several moves that Commander Video can do, including those that you mentioned, like the springboard super jump, the regular jump, the floaty jump. There's also the kung fu kick, the block, the slide. What else? He's got like 7 or so moves that he can do to help you get through the world. And you're going to need to have very deft finger skills to overcome all of the nefarious challenges that I have personally thrown at you. And when you really get into the zone, your hands start to feel good, like you're kind of dancing with the controller, and it's super choice. The 3 of us over here are very excited about Bit Trip Runner because it does kind of – it draws you in a little bit more, and I think that that's because of our realistic depiction of Commander Video as a human running through the wilderness and across the moonscape. You know, people really like controlling a character, we've discovered. And I think that this game is really going to speak to players in a brand new way. And that has me very excited.
Yeah, it really feels like a world now. I mean, it's retained the abstract style, but you really feel like you're getting to connect with things that are not totally dissimilar from you. I look at that worm guy who pokes his head out that you have to slide under.
Yeah, that's the Leftwise Gestersmeck.
I freaking love that guy. I don't know. There's something about him. He's got this cute, ugly style to him that I feel like I can relate with. Is there any? It almost makes me want a game that's got the kind of size of a Monster Hunter or a Pikmin or something, where you get to really get to know all those creatures. But I don't know. I only got to play Runner for a little bit, so for all I know, you really do get to know them throughout the span of Runner. Right. I keep meaning for these things to be questions, but then they're just me talking. Sorry about that.
Well,
sorry.
I'll turn them into questions for you here. We'll collaborate on your question asking. I'll tell you what, Jonathan, if you can get all the fans of the BitTrip series in the world to rally together and buy enough copies of the games that we can afford to make a game like the one you just described, where you get to know all these creatures and get to be nutty with them, like an RPG or a Pokemon. Well, Pokemon's an RPG too. You will get to know all these critters. They all have names. They're all, adorable little dudes for us. You've got in Runner, you've got the Leftwise Gestersmeck as well as the Rightwise. You've got the Hairy Norquisp, the Flisswizzle, and, what else? What are some of the other ones? I don't know, but there's a lot. The Moint, the Non-Trotsky.
The Non-Trotsky. Yep. I've been waiting to see the Non-Trotsky since, last year, I think.
That's You'll when see I first him heard soon.
I can't wait. So excited.
So we're trying to, the world is rich. It's just this is the first time that you've experienced the outside world in a BitTrip game.
Wow. One of the other things I loved about the game was you did the pitfall thing where sometimes the level split into two halves, and if you drop to the lower level, you have a totally different set of challenges. Was that something you pre-planned a lot in terms of trying to make sure there's a lot of replay in this one? I know that it's supposed to be really long, too, BitTrip Runner, much longer than the other games.
Yeah, there's more than 50 challenges in BitTrip Runner, and I think that the scope of the game is bigger, certainly. It's not necessarily longer once you're good at it, and that, well, actually, you know what, it might be longer, but anyway, yeah, the scope is bigger in this game. And then in terms of the level flow, we definitely kept in mind that sometimes there's going to be an easier path, sometimes there's going to be a harder path, and you can always make it to the end of the level on the easy path, but you may not get all of the bonuses. And in order to go into one of the bonus challenges, which will allow you to get a perfect score, you have to collect all the gold bars and all of the power-ups and then destroy or overcome all of the obstacles in your way along that quote-unquote perfect run. So you do a perfect run in the main challenge, then you get to go to a bonus challenge. And so there are several layers to BitTrip Runner in terms of difficulty and reward. And again, that comes back to the point we're trying to get across about life, where there are several different layers to one's life, and how you enjoy it can be very different from how somebody else enjoys it.
How long are these the levels in Runner that, there's 50 of them to complete?
Yeah, they range in length. I think that the longest one is maybe about 3 minutes long. Once you finally make it through it, but it takes several tries, to get good enough to make it through it. Actually, maybe it doesn't take several tries for everybody. Maybe there's a little BitTrip Runner pariah waiting out there. Wait, pariah? That's not the right word. Prodigy. A pariah is that's wrong.
Although it is possible that one might not exclude the other.
That's actually, you're right. That's true. But maybe there's a BitTrip Runner, expert out there that will just come out and defeat the game their first sitting. Although I kind of doubt it. One thing that fans are concerned about with BitTrip Runner is that they think it's going to be easier than the other BitTrip games. And I personally maintain that BitTrip Void will be the easiest BitTrip game. And Runner definitely steps it up from Void.
It's funny because I hear one of our readers specifically said that Void is way too hard for him. The other one's
really?
Hard as bad, but Void he can't beat. Yeah. It's a different way of thinking. All the games, you need a totally different type of thinking for in order to do it. So,
yeah, that's one of the things I love about the series is that certain games, you know, really speak well to certain gamers, and that's cool.
I struggle with Core. I don't know.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I visually cannot seem to time more than, you know, 5 minutes into the game, and I'm out. It's ridiculous.
That's how I was the first time I played it, and then something where my brain just like turned into a different person, basically perceived the world differently, and then it actually got easier than beat for me. But at first, I totally hear you. It was really hard.
Yeah, BitTrip Core was the first game where anybody got a perfect score, and they started submitting photographs to us and everything, which was cool. And then somebody actually did a perfect run on the third level of BitTrip Beat, which we all thought was going to be impossible. I have tried several times, and while I can do every single pattern in and of itself just fine, I can't play through any level in BitTrip Beat perfectly. So that's always exciting to hear about.
Yeah, absolutely. I almost felt like Runner felt like a kind of like a forced speed run of a platformer, but because you had to hit so many buttons in combination, it almost felt like a fighting game to me in a way. I just played Street Fighter 4 before that, and then I went to play Runner at PAX East to try to win a Commander Video Trophy, which I managed to win. And it asks the brain to kind of do the same sort of almost playing the controller like an instrument. Was that something that you consciously went into it with, or is that kind of a happy byproduct of doing a 2D platformer?
We didn't go into it thinking that it might end up feeling like a fighting game, although your analogy is very accurate, I think, because it's sort of split second decision making, and then of course executing on that decision that was made, you know, with your fine motor skills. It's very similar to a fighting game in that regard. What I wanted it to feel like was kind of like how Tony Hawk makes your hands feel when you pull off a really good move, like in particular Tony Hawk 2, where you're playing and you're doing all this crazy stuff with your hands, and suddenly you realize that your hands are no longer yours anymore. They're just the game's, you know, and you've...
Yes.
So that's what we wanted.
Oh, God, countless hours. Countless.
don't count them, because you can't.
No.
Yeah.
It felt also a little bit like freestyling in Jammer Lammy, like kick, punch, block, sort of. You're actually kicking and blocking in mm-hmm. BitTrip Runner. It's kind of a literal take on the old Parappa the Rapper slogan.
Oh, yes. Yeah, good times.
And let's all just take this moment to thank Masaya Matsuura for Parappa the Rapper.
Yes, yes.
Oh, I wish he'd come back.
Me too.
Yeah. What do you think of the whole auto-run platformer genre as it's kind of blossoming? Because, you know, Runner I heard about, I think you first kind of hinted at it when you reviewed Anthony's game Runner, which there's still an ongoing lawsuit, so we can't talk about that too much. But when you talked about Anthony's game before, you mentioned that you were going to maybe do something in the same vein, and Anthony's game is also an auto-run sort of platformer. And since then, we've seen Tomana Center, we've seen Cannibalt on the iPhone, and of course there already was Vibribbon. So it seems to be kind of a blossoming new genre, which to me is pretty exciting. Is that something you were hoping to accomplish as well, or have you played any of those games?
Well, it's interesting, and And I'll say, you know, lawsuit aside, I'm sure that BitTrip Runner is going to be nowhere near as high quality as Anthony's game, which is why I've asked our lawyer to attack it as viciously as possible. aside from that, I think it's really interesting that this whole sort of what I would call on-rails platforming games, you know, it is sort of becoming a genre, and it's a weird genre. You know, you don't feel totally in control, but at the same time, there's new control schemes, and you mentioned Cannibalt, and it's amazing how fresh and unique Atom Atomic was able to make that game with just one button press, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of games that only use one button, and there aren't many of those either. But
Me too. Hallelujah.
Yeah. The first time I saw the Wii Remote, in fact, I stood up and rejoiced because there's that gigantic A button right on the top, and I was like, oh, sweet. You know, we're getting back to kind of simpler things. But anyway, the side-scrolling you know, on rails platformer, I think, is a really cool genre, and I would like to see, you know, other on rails sort of spin off genres, like the on rails brawler, you know, or something like that. You know, you've got your on rails shooters like Rez or Panzer Dragoon, that sort of thing, Sin and Punishment, can't wait for number two. You know, and you've got your Viv Ribbons and your BitTrip Runners and, you know, and all of that. As an on-rails platformer, I think it's kind of neat to take that control away from players and then see what you can give them in exchange. And to Menace Honor, Jonathan, thanks so much for that game. That is very, very bizarre. I love it.
It doesn't have the depth of Runner, but it has a personality all its own that I think make it a worthwhile try for people.
It's the kind of game that I wait for. I'm like, will someone make me a game like that? Oh yes, here it is. The same way I felt about the original Rhythm Tengoku.
Oh my god. Yeah, Rhythm Tengoku, especially the original one on the GBA. Again, I was astounded by how fresh they could keep that gameplay with one button. Every now and then two or whatever, but primarily one button. And and in fact, you know, at GDC this last year, the Gamma 4 challenge was to make a game with one button, and there were so many games that were very unique, and there's a lot of creativity to be tapped into with a restriction like that. This is the longest answer to your question ever, but I am very excited about people branching out, taking genres apart, deconstructing them and reconstructing them in new and creative ways that you wouldn't normally think of.
It really takes a passion for video games to do that, I find. And that's, I still get in the art games as art debate. I don't know why, but I still get sucked into it. And to me, can something that you have that much passion about, can you say that's not art if somebody really, you know, expanded their own mind in the process of making it and truly wanted to communicate something to a large group of people so they can, you know, relate who they are to them? How can you say that's not art, you goddamn Roger Ebert? I'd be kidding me. I mean, it seems like he just doesn't get it. So he's like, well, if I don't get it, then they're not art, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I don't
you
get...
You goddamn Roger Ebert.
Yeah. I don't get Salvador Dali's paintings, so they're not art, you know? What else don't I get? You know, I don't get Quentin Tarantino, so it's not art. No, yeah. I'm just kidding. I get both of those things, and they are art, of course. And I think that, I mean, we were just talking about this today. We were walking back from getting a coffee, which, of course, we love to do. But we were talking about this whole games as art thing, and I have kind of today come to the conclusion that who really cares? I do not care if you think games are art or games are not art. I personally am moved by several games that I play. And if I want to call a moving experience art or artistic, then I'm gonna. And if for some reason you or Roger Ebert or any other wiener out there doesn't want to call that art, then they don't have to. They can join their little Games Aren't Art club and be happy with it. And I can go about my day and worry about more important things like how awesome BitTrip Runner is going to be.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well,
absolutely.
It's all subjective anyway, too. That's the thing. I mean, you know, one gamer is going to think that, you know, Silent Hill 2 is art. Another gamer is going to think that Halo is art. And I know that sounds retarded, but like, it's true. Like, it's very much, it's just like, you know, art that hangs on a wall. It's subjective to people's personal reaction to it, at least to me.
Yeah. I mean, you go to a thrift store and you see that crappy clown painting that some doofus did, you know, in high school. And it's framed, and what do you call it? You call it art, but you might call it bad art. And so there's all kinds of art. And to have the debate, I think, other than like a thought exercise where no one should get angry at each other, it's pointless. Like, debate something else. You know, I don't know. That's kind of how I feel about it these days.
Sure.
You know, we've been talking about it a lot in the office, so part of that probably comes from being tired of talking about it. And the other two
I think
guys,
the internet is tired of talking about it. A lot of people are. I'm sorry. What do Mike and Chris think?
Chris has some interesting opinions on it as well, and they kind of fall in line with mine in terms of if it is moving to you, then it can be considered art. And I think that his is more. If it's moving to the creator, like if you set out to create something of high quality, then you tried to make some art, you know, and certainly that's a valid point, just as valid as Mike's, which is no, video games aren't art. Screw everyone. They're just games. And let's talk about something else.
I could see Mike saying that. That's pretty hilarious.
I might start saying that just to end the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, there's a part of the conversation, though, that's still interesting to me, which is when people say that because the player has choice and isn't being, you know, just presented with kind of a static thing or a time-based thing where no player involvement matters, that's why it's art. Whereas if you involve the viewer as an active participant, then it's not art. Then it's more of a, oh, I don't know. An amusement park ride or something, but to that, are the people saying that? Do they also think that installation art, where you have to like walk through a dark corridor that somebody built and see a toilet filled with blood and walk on pebbles and hear like the sounds of babies being born in the background? Did you guys go to art school like me? So do you know what I'm talking
about?
That's what art school was all about. I went to art school for 4.5 years and. Once a year, they take the cafeteria where we're normally just eating hot dogs and eating popcorn and cotton candy and turn it into like this bizarre nightmare where, you know, you'd be seeing upside down plastic fetuses hanging from the wall and, you know, chicken guts are strewn about the place. And it was installation art. You can experience it any way you want. You just jump in and have an artistic time.
Yeah, so nope. At that point it becomes, why even bother arguing with it?
Yeah. But I guess I'm resentful that was considered art, but to some people, Bit Trip Beat would not be considered art.
Right.
I'm grumpy still.
Well, yeah, whatever. They can play it or not play it. You know, it's not for everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
But they're wrong.
And that wraps up another episode of Fit Transmission. Huge thanks to Alex from Gaijin Games for joining us. Fit Trip Runner releases on WiiWare May 14th in Europe and May 17th in North America. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or at fittransmission.com. Follow us on Twitter at fittransmission. And send us your questions, comments, and death threats at bits@bittransmission.com. Next episode, the gang gets together to talk about video games some more, because that's how we roll. We'll see you then.
End transmission.